Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson taking you to the 5 o'clock kickoff on the second half of TSN's doubleheader as the first game's about to wrap up as the Argos 49 points to the BC Lions 34 as Nick Arbuckle and the former Rough Rider Jake Herslow is hooked up for a couple of touchdowns.
Hurdlin Herslow.
Today, yes.
Wow, Nick Arbuckle looks like he played even better than he played in the Grey Cup in this BC Lions defense. Man, they're expecting way more from them this year, but they've let them down again.
They're awful. Just awful. Right when they need a stop, you know, Arbuckle bombs it downfield for 40 yards to flip the field. It looks like the Lions will fall to 5-6, and the Argos will improve to 3-8. Heading into the Labor Day weekend, of course, Argos and Hamilton, the Elks and the Stampeders. There used to be another game. They used to have, like, BC Montreal on Thursday night of that week. No longer. Everybody else has a bye week. It's just the three-game rivalries with the Riders, Bombers, Stamps, Elks, and, of course, the Argos and the Tiger Cats for next week. For a Labor Day long weekend. But right now, it's time for Who's Gonna Eat?
Who's Gonna Eat? With Belton Johnson.
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Each and every week, we look at the matchups we like the most for a player to have a big game on all sides of the ball, offense and defense for the Rough Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. Today, Belton Johnson will then give you his tailgating tip, which is delicious, I can tell you, Sherwood Co-op. But Belton, where do we begin on Who's going to Eat?
Let's start with the Stamps D, Jamie.
Stampeders defense, who do you have your eye on today?
Number 9, Mr. Damon Webb.
He might be the best D-back in the league.
Hey? He is good, man. Mm-hmm.
And they move him to safety here for the Calgary Stampeders. Just roaming around, picking balls off for the Calgary Stampeders. Daryl Davis?
Why, this defensive line, we were talking about them. It's a whole bunch of new guys, or not a whole bunch, but it's a rebuilt team. Number 12, I just keep going, who is that? Who is that, Clarence Hicks? We know who he is now. Clarence Hicks.
Yeah, a couple of defensive linemen. Hutchings, as well as we were talking in the commercial break, has stepped it up. I just think they are going to run the ball a lot today, the Saskatchewan Roughriders. They're really going to establish the run. Yeah, I think Jacob Roberts is going to be busy, the Will linebacker. For the Calgary Stampeders, where are we going to next, Belton?
Let's go to the Rider defense there, Jamie.
Okay, the Rough Riders defense still awaiting word on the health of Marcus Sales. They moved him to a game time decision today. Haven't seen anything from the Riders yet on a change. But they also moved move Antoine Brooks Jr. He was on the one game for a healthy scratch. They moved him to the practice roster as well because you can only move players from the practice roster to the active roster on a game time decision. So if there's a change, we'll pass that along before kickoff this afternoon. But anyways, Belton, who do you like on the Riders defense?
Let's go Agent Zero. He's never let me down, Jamie.
Roland Milligan Jr. No Dom Rhymes to cover. That'll help. And no Tevin Jones to cover. That'll help.
No Kenny Lawler. That always helps.
But they do get Damian Alford back in the lineup. The Moose, as they call him in Calgary.
He's a nice one, hey?
But Daryl, who do you got eating for the Riders defense?
So many guys are making impressions. That defensive line has just turned into such a force. Let's go Malik Carney. Shane Ray would have been my other choice. But one or the other, can I have an entry?
Can I take the
defensive ends? They do.
They get out there, man.
And with Revis X adding those blitz, and once in a while they'll bring it back, too. Wow, that's big pressure. And I think Malik Carney's going to catch Vernon Adams Jr. That's the quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders, in case you don't know his name.
Not V.A.?
Not V.A. All right. Okay.
Big play, V.A.
Thanks, Jamie.
I don't know. Hearing Mike Rose, and you talk to Mike Rose, he's ticked off on whatever was going on in Calgary and whatever ended in Calgary and however it ended in Calgary. 42, Mike Rose might be a handful, and I think he will be a handful for the Calgary Stampeders offensive line today. So I'm going Mike Rose, Eaton for the Rough Riders defense. Where are we going next?
Let's go Rider offense. There,
the Riders offense. You're going to do it to me, aren't you, Belton? Belton, what do you got for the Riders offense?
I'm going Mr. Dante Myers, man.
Oh, okay. Dante Myers. Yep. Why? What do you like about Dante?
He's the home run hit. He is that one player. I bet he has, he probably averages, 20 yards a catch? Or, he can hit. He's the field stretcher.
Yeah, they take turns, it seems like. But he's the one who's had the biggest games, mm-hmm. I think. So, yeah, good point. Go ahead, Jamie. Take who you want. I know who you want. Go ahead.
Well,
I'll go last this time. I don't mind.
AJ Ollett.
Gee, big surprise.
Riders are going to establish the run after. How many yards do they have rushing in the first game against Cal? Oh, yeah, 16. Mm-hmm. 9 carries for 16 yards.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's why I was going to let you take the running back. Keyshawn Johnson, number 3.
Keyshawn Johnson for Darrell Davis. Joe Robustelli had over 150 yards receiving last time out against the Calgary Stampeders. We'll see if he can
repeat that. I took him last game. I should switch back to him. Nah.
Okay. We'll wrap things up with the Calgary Stampeders offense. Belton, who do you have eaten for the Stamps?
Phil Putt.
No questions.
Nope. Zero. You got a question?
Well, I don't know where Daryl's going, but there's one re-addition to this offense that
I know, after
two touchdowns the last time out against the Rough Riders.
Right?
Moose.
I thought about that, but it was like, they're going to shut that down.
You think
man.
So?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Barnes has been pretty good, too. I'm kind of torn. A couple of pretty good Canadian receivers, right? I think Alfred's going to make a splash again.
Okay, you're going to go Damian Alford. I'm going to flip a coin with one of these two American receivers. Without Tevin Jones and Dominique Rimes, one of them has to step up. I'm going to go with Dalen Baldwin. It's just his second game of the year. He's taken Dominique Rimes' spot. I'll go with him, even though he's up against Agent Zero, a Roland Milligan Jr. So there's our Who's Gonna Eat segment as we get to Belton Johnson's tailgating tip, which is delicious, I might add, for Sherwood Co-op. Belton, I can tell them what we're eating, but you go ahead.
So what we got for you today, fellas, is Berea nachos. And, earlier this week, my family and I, we had... what do you call Berea tacos, where you dip it in the sauce and, flat iron grill with the meat in there and everything, some cheese, onions and everything. And Max was like, ooh, I bet this would be good with some nachos. I'm like, hold that idea, son.
Max always helping us out.
He does, man. And so with the Berea nachos, to make the meat there and everything, what we had to do is, get out a pot of water and everything, and chilies, tomatoes, onions, spices, garlic, put it all in the pot and you boil it for about 20 minutes or so, nice and simmer. And once that's done, you strain it off and you put the tomatoes, the chilies, the garlic and everything along with some of the juices there and blend it up till you got like a sauce, like a tomato sauce or something, right? And so you put that sauce there, you put it in the crock pot. So for the meat, what I used was, beef chuck roast. And one of my favorite is the short rib, right?
Yep.
Got that all seared up in this skillet as well. Salt, pepper on the meat there, seared it, and put it in the crock pot. Well, crock pot, you just let it go, right? And I think it was about 9 hours or so, right? Ooh. And were you able to shred the meat and everything. So you take the meat off the bone, shred it, and that's the meat, right? So for the nachos portion here, I like to layer my nachos, right? And I like to use my chips there. You know my chips.
Scoops.
The scoops, right? So, and I like to layer. So it was the scoop chips. shredded cheese, refried beans.
Just cheddar, by the way?
That was a mixed blend. Okay. Mixed blend. And I like corn, put some of that on there and everything, right? And just, and the meat, of course, the Berea meat. And just layered it, got the smoker going, 400 degrees, because at that point we're grilling and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it's more so to melt the cheese, right? Mm-hmm. And got that going in, it was about 10 minutes, no, probably about 15 minutes on the smoker there. And after that was done, I had to make the onion mix for the Berea tacos. So it's just onion, lime juice, right? And you sprinkle that on top once it's all ready. Then I saw we had tomatoes left in the fridge. I'm like, ooh, yeah, let me put some tomatoes on top. And I got to have my pickled jalapenos, right? Mm. So that's what we got for you there. Right there. You like that?
You didn't just take, you should have seen that. You couldn't even wait till the end.
Just, you were eating when I walked in the studio today. Oh, Jamie, man. Come and give me that grief.
That's true. That's a true story. I was like, sorry, Daryl, I'm already eating the tailgating tip.
Well, that's the thing, right? I want you guys to eat it hot, right? Because if we had to wait it, you know, everything cools down a bit, yes. Right?
What do you guys?
Berea nachos.
There you have it.
Sherwood Co-op.
Of course, we podcast the pregame show, so if you want to run through that, maybe during the game, go find the podcast. The Green Zone Game Day is the podcast you're looking for wherever you find your podcast in the pregame show, and you can rifle through there for these nachos, which are fantastic, by the way. Here on the Green Zone with the tailgating tip brought to you by Sherwood Co-op. I'm surprised with your love of scoops,
yep.
The nachos, I'm surprised you don't say Malik Carney every week.
That's his nickname is Scoop.
So maybe Belton's favorite Rough Rider, Malik Carney. Scoop.
He's a defensive end. Belton doesn't like defensive ends. That's he played against him for a long time.
Long time.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, we'll head to the coach's chair and hear from head coach Corey Mace before kickoff at 5:00 on TSN. It's the Riders and the Stampeders in the game of the week. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone pregame show on game day as the Riders take on the Calgary Stampeders in about 40 minutes from now. 45 minutes is the kickoff at McMahon Stadium. A quick sporting note that will be interesting to watch tomorrow is Brooke Henderson at the CPKC Women's Open is 6-under for her round today. She's just tapping in for par on the 18th. Brooke Henderson has a 2-shot lead going into Sunday. And, of course, this is the National Canadian Open Championship, the same tournament she won in 2018 right here in Saskatchewan at the Wascana Country Club. And we remember how special that was on Sunday, Daryl, covering that tournament and walking that course on the Sunday in Mississauga. I think it's going to be similar tomorrow with Brooke Henderson at the top of the leaderboard.
You're right. That's closer to her hometown. She's an Ontario girl, right? So, I think it's going to be really something. It was amazing here, Jamie, when I was in Saskatchewan and Regina at the Wascana Country Club. The affection back and forth between her and the fans, you could tell. And it was a great event for her to win. It really kickstarted. Her career was on its way, but that really skyrocketed it.
Yeah, it did. It's been over 2 years since she's won a tournament. Mm-hmm. So finding her game at home is Brooke Henderson in the lead in the clubhouse after the third round of the CPKC Women's Canadian Open in Mississauga, Ontario. But right now, back to football with the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
Each and every week, we hear from head coach Corey Mace ahead of kickoff from his pregame news conferences. And this week, Britton Gray asked him, actually, how much he was expecting a pretty physical game between the Riders and the Stampeders.
Probably so. You know, that's I think it's just the mental makeup of both teams. Certainly they've played a physical brand of football all year. and we have, I think, for the majority outside of, you know, I thought they got us in that department. So, you know, it was a little bit of a kick in the teeth, so to speak, for us, and we definitely needed it. And I think we've been good ever since. So, yes, I think you're pretty accurate saying it's probably going to be physical.
How tough is it to prepare for a quarterback like Vernon Adams Jr., who has just such a unique set of skills?
Yeah, man, it's tough. You know, he's able. He's standing in there and he's delivering the ball, good timing. He's the spots where he's putting them, man. He's been on it. And then obviously, you know, we all know what he's able to do with his legs if need be. But he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So those are always tough.
What do you expect from him? How's that defense kind of really impressed you even now midway through the season, how they've kind of been able to keep it up all year?
Yeah, no, incredible. You know, I know they're coached really well with Slow. You know, they got really good coaches, Clundy, Bowman over there, B. Miles, man. They got a lot of guys who've been really good coaches in this league, and it's reflecting out there on the field. You know, they play their defense very well. They know how to adjust to offenses, and ultimately they play physical as ever, man. So tough task, you know, for any offense going against them, us as well.
You played in Calgary. You know how Rider fans like to take over that stadium. So what do you expect this week from the crowd?
I don't know, man. I'm hearing there's, you know, about 25,000 sold, man. I'm hoping, you know, 20 of that is green and white, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. It's good for the league, obviously, just have a little back and forth fanfare. You know, to see McMahon have some butts in the seat, I think that's also good for the league. So, you know, hopefully we can put a good game together.
Have you allowed yourself to think about what it would be like to be the first head coach in this glorious franchise to go 9-1?
I didn't even know that was a stat, man. So as long as we can go 1-0 this week, I hope I'd be the first coach to do that this year. So that's all we're looking at.
How tough is it to figure out or even project how this game might play out? You got two tremendous offenses, you got two tremendous defenses. Something has to give somewhere, but where?
Yeah, it's three phases, man. You know, and it could come in any one of those three phases. And then certainly, you know, for us, I know we have a recipe success, and you know, there's kind of five tick marks on that. And I know that they also have a recipe as well. And it's going to come down to details, the detail stuff, the small things end up being the big things. So, yeah, man, it should be a really good matchup.
In talking with the defensive line, they've got the opportunity to make some calls along the offensive line that you've afforded them the opportunity to do. Is that the exception or is that the rule when you have a veteran group like that?
Yeah, you hope, right? But even that, you know, we didn't start out like that in training camp. You got to earn that right, and you know, we've gotten to the point where I think those guys have, but certainly, you know, there's a mix of things where it's like, hey, this needs to be done. So specifically, you know, with a mobile quarterback back there, you can't get too crazy. You just got to make sure that you're applying pressure and not leaving too many escape lanes open. You know, inevitably there's going to be some, but you got to make sure that you know where they are and they're accounted for.
That is head coach Corey Mace. That was an interesting part of that conversation with Corey is, well, when you got Micah Johnson and Mike Rose and Malik Kearney and Shane Ray, who's been around, first round pick in the National Football League, played pro ball, won a Grey Cup in Toronto, and a Super Bowl, of course, as well in his NFL career. But it still seems strange that he allows those defensive linemen to go audible. No, we're seeing this. Let's do that. Like,
why not though? A quarterback could do it. Why can't the defensive line do it? But as he said, they had to earn that. The start of the year, they weren't playing well enough to do it, and they were still getting their feet under them, as Belton said, getting their chemistry going. Now they know what to expect from each other. And I think if they start botching things up, he'll take that right away from them. But would you miss? I would. What they're doing now, don't touch it. Yeah, Not one little bit. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
But they keep doing what they're doing, which is allowing them that freedom.
Yeah, of course. Freedom. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They see it, right? And, you know, that's the thing about Mace, right? You know, accountability and everything, right? And
to me, that's
what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm seeing here too, with them on, you know, being able to have that, you know, freedom and everything.
Is that different for you, like as an offensive lineman? Were there times where you're like, okay, the defensive line is calling an audible at the line? Like you can tell with the communication and movement, or do you kind of figure for the most part, it's pretty well set. They're doing exactly what that defensive call is each and every down.
So that, and that's the thing about, you know, when you're going to the bench and everything, right? As you know, what are they doing? Right. And sometimes, especially on the O-line, you hear the defense make a call or something, and or if we get in a certain formation offensively and you start noticing key things that the player, the defensive ends or the linebackers are doing, and that's why it's imperative you go back to that bench with your O-line coach, probably the OC, hey, I'm seeing this. Whenever we're in this formation, this is what they're doing every time. And that's when you, the OC or, you know, you call the play, and that's where you hit a big play sometimes, too.
Uncle Belton, tell us a story. How did you used to do all these things without tablets on the sidelines?
I ain't that old, Jamie, man.
You didn't have tablets down there.
No tablets. It's just when you're, especially him. For me, like, even me coaching RMF, my O-line, I like, y'all got to tell me what you see out there. And that's when you come back with the marker and the board, right? And, you know, good example last week when we're playing, the Bengals RMF team, they had their defensive end freaking 15 yards away from a tackle. And sometimes, you know, when you're sitting so far away, you can't tell where or who's who, right? And you go back and watch the film, and I'm like, hold on, y'all should have told me. We wouldn't even went out there to block him. We would have blocked everybody in the box, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's where the communication is key, right? Like, with the O-line and, yeah, with the D-line, if they maybe they see something that they recognize, like, oh, no, let's change it, right? So it's,
well, I remember, to me, it's way back in the day, like in the National Football League, way back in the day, they used to have fax machines on the sideline spitting out still photos going through on what they were seeing back in the day.
Yeah, no tablet, Jamie.
No tablet back in those days. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show. Britton Gray's player profile interview with running back A.J. Ouellette will also go around the CFL. Also roster check. Couple more bold prediction questions. All getting ready for kickoff in about a half an hour as on TSN as the Riders take on the Stamps. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson going through some roster changes ahead of kickoff. We were telling you about Marcus Sales being a game-time decision. He is not playing today. Marcus Sales is out. So here we go. It is a complete shuffle in the secondary for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Marcus Sales will be out. Antoine Brooks will come onto the roster, but he will not start. Instead, they are moving Nelson Lacombo to Marcus Sales' corner spot and Jackson Ford.
Oh, here we go, fellas.
Belton likes this.
Sorry.
We'll start at safety.
Sorry, my bad.
He likes Jackson Ford, huh?
Man, he is a hammer.
Okay.
He's a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
He does. I can't wait to see this guy, man.
See if he, well, as long as he doesn't get burned deep.
Just hit.
Hit somebody?
Just hit him.
Make it scary down the middle and along the middle here, hey?
Man.
It's interesting that Antoine Brooks isn't starting, right? I know that he played the last game against Calgary.
Yeah, and he was burnt a couple of times.
Yeah,
in that game.
So he's their extra defensive back who can play. But during practice last week, Antoine Brooks was wearing running back offense. He switched to offensive colors and was going with the running backs. They said he played. I think he played high school as a running back. He did both a little bit, and they used him in skelly drills. And he ran so well with the football that they said, "Let's try something out and see what how he looks." which is the type of thing that Chris Jones used to do, right? Except he would never take anybody from defense and move them to offense. He was always taking people from offense and moving them to defense. But Antoine Brooks could revive his career. He's an energetic player with a lot of talent, but maybe there's no room for him as a DB. And you can always, if you could play both, put him on the roster, and then you got him special teams, and then it might save you a roster spot somewhere along the line.
He was a quarterback in high school.
Okay. He can carry the football too, though.
Yeah.
That sounds like he's an athlete.
Yeah, he is. He's a very good one.
So we will we'll see.
And we'll watch for Jackson Ford across the middle, see if he smacks somebody.
I'm watching that one,
but we'll get through a further roster check for both teams coming up. But right now, let's get to Britton Gray's player profile interview as he had a chat with running back AJ Ouellette.
After last season, dealing with the injuries, what's it meant for you to put this season so far halfway through?
It just feels good to perform the way that, you know, I was expecting to last year coming into a new team. And, I mean, the O-line is clashing well, so it's going well.
You did the body transformation thing over the offseason, showed that off. Has that kind of helped you with this season so far?
Yeah, I mean, starting hot, right, and moving well. Talking to defenders all the time, they think I move faster than I like look on film and all that, so that's good. The problem is, especially even like today being a hot day, I'm gonna want to eat way too much, so I gotta control all the calorie intake.
Is the I don't know, slimming down, but getting more lean maybe helping also health wise for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the fasting in the off season kind of helped the body kind of reset, right? I had a lot of tendon issues last year, and kind of letting them settle down and recover, I think, was huge.
What was the reason for the transformation? I think it was a contest you guys had at the gym, right?
Yeah, a lot of crap talking between all the coaches. So all the coaches and my brother joined the contest, mainly because we were talking trash on who could lose the most weight. And luckily to those guys, I will say I was not letting myself get below 200 pounds. So Brandon Weir, our speed coach there at the gym, ended up winning. He went from like 215 to 170 in 2 months, which is crazy.
And so just this offense, it's really clicking right now. What do you think's led to this first half just being the way it has been for you guys?
We got guys that are not selfish, right? They don't care who gets the ball, what their stats are, as long as we win. And that goes with Trevor. He doesn't care about his own stats. He wants everybody else to have these crazy stats. We were just talking about it today. He knows all the stats of teammates. He just doesn't know his own. And it seems to be a repeating thing with everybody on the team. Like, we just want big plays and to celebrate, no matter if it's offense or defense.
How much is it up to you as a physical running back to kind of help set that physical tone as well in a game?
Yeah, I mean, especially at home, it gets the crowd in it. The O-line got pretty pumped on a few plays when the crowd's just going crazy from me just basically headbutting another person. But once it gets to crunch time and all that, I'll have to find some more yards out there instead of taking someone down the middle, you know, just pick a side and spin off of it to get another 3 yards out of it. But, you know, right now just setting that tone and trying to push our way through.
Only one blemish on the record so far. That's when Calgary came here. After that game, it was talk about being out physical. So how important is it going to be physical this week in Calgary?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we showed up and played our best ball. So I told the guys just show up like we have every other game, and we'll be fine. We love pushing people around. So
you're a veteran in this league, been on winning teams, just 8-1. What's it about this locker room to not look ahead? Some teams might look 8-1, okay, here we go, but just keep it that one game at a time, like you guys have been doing.
Yeah, I tell the guys, your record means give all. Like, I've been on a team that was 16-2, and we didn't win the Grey Cup. Been on a team that I might have been 9-9 or 8-8, whatever the heck our record was, and won the Grey Cup. Like, it does not mean, like, doesn't matter what your record is. You got to play every game.
That is AJ Ouellette and the player profile interview with the Britton Gray. We're going to get to a bold prediction question on the run games for both these teams based on last time out. The Rough Riders ran the ball 9 times for 16 yards in that 24-10 loss.
You think that's why they lost?
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
And the Stampeders had 24 carries for 134 yards in the victory on the ground. So I want total carries, not just AJ Ouellette. This is total carries for both the Stampeders and the Riders. Total yards rushing for the Stampeders and the Riders. And the Riders' time of possession, which was only 27, But at halftime, it was about a 10-minute difference. It was like 20-10 at halftime for the Calgary Stampeders. So what do we got for the Riders and the Stampeders on the ground today to establish a physical game against each other? Everybody wants me to start because I'm winning. Okay. Saskatchewan, 26 carries, 150 yards on the ground today. The Calgary Stampeders, 19 for 195. And time of possession, the Riders' time of possession, I'm just going to go 31. I think it's going to be pretty split. When it comes to time of possession,
who wants to go next?
Belton wants to go next. Riders total carries.
Total carry. Let's go 22.
Total yards on the ground.
Total yards for the Riders on the ground. I'm gonna go 113.
Calgary total carries.
And what did you have there, Jamie?
19 for 95.
Okay. I'm going to go 26 carries for the Stamps.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to be able to hold up, but let's go 137 on the ground for the Stamps.
And time of possession.
Time of possession, let's go.
Just the Riders number.
Yeah, for the Riders, let's go 33.
Darryl Davis.
Oh, boy. Saskatchewan, 27 for 102.
27, 102. Calgary.
22 for 90.
And time of possession for the Riders today?
28.
All righty. Coming up, we'll get to our bold prediction and roster check. But real quick, let's go around the Canadian Football League. Not a lot of big news around the CFL this week, but... we do have a couple of finals, of course. This is the last game of the week. Brady Oliveira, 210 yards in the Bombers' 26-13 win over the Montreal Alouettes with the four-string quarterback, James Morgan, throwing two interceptions in that one. As the Riders better get ready for Brady Oliveira, who's waking up to get ready for the second half of the season, Darryl Davis.
Waking up, or they're using him now? They weren't. They didn't seem to be using him that much. I was wondering about Winnipeg's offense, but Brady Oliveira is still a weapon, and they're missing a lot. Like Dalton Schoen's out, their top receiver. They seem to forget Nick Dembski for a while, and they shouldn't.
Nick Dembski got hurt in that game.
That's true, yeah, and he's been up and down. So they haven't had all their weapons at their disposal. Just rely on Brady Oliveira, man.
Just run it, right? Yeah. And that's their identity, I feel like. Right?
I think so, too, yeah. But they got away from it, didn't they? I don't think they've been winning because of it.
And the Edmonton Elks, they beat the Ottawa Redblacks 30-20 as Cody Fajardo has rattled off three straight wins as the starting quarterback for the Edmonton Elks. And, a lot more consistency at quarterback. The belief is starting to sink into the Elks room.
Haven't they all been against Eastern teams? I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
A win is a win. Okay, yeah, true, but okay. Isn't the West weak again? I think the West is reeled off like 8 or 9 straight against the East.
The Edmonton Elks should have beaten the Hamilton Tiger Cats, dropped touchdown, one of the best teams in the league. I believe they had the ball in their hand with a chance to win against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
They're better, Jamie. They've gotten better. Yeah, I'm not saying.
Put respect on Cody Fajardo's name.
They should have probably had Fajardo to start the season.
They probably should have, yeah. But they made the big commitment to Trey Ford and then didn't call an offense that was suitable for Trey Ford. So a lot of weird things going on over there. But you're right, they're better. They're suddenly a risk. Suddenly they're a team that might be challenging for a playoff berth. Yeah.
And just moments ago, it wrapped up in Toronto. They put a 50-burger on the BC Lions, 52-34. The Argonauts beat the Lions. The Lions dominated in the first quarter. And then Nathan Rourke threw a pick six, and it just flipped the game. Mm-hmm. Toronto took over. The defense in BC is just awful, allowing 52 points. I'm just looking at what the yardage was for the Toronto had 430 yards of offense today. 529 Ooh, yards of offense.
Nick Arbuckle had a game, too.
430 yards passing for Nick Arbuckle today.
When is Chad Kelly coming back?
Who cares?
I'm just wondering.
Suddenly Nick Arbuckle is starting to play like we were expecting him to play. Yep.
He's playing.
Actually, you know what? He hasn't had a bad season. Even from the start of the season, he wasn't bad. They just weren't winning. And they're still, they're 3-8. So they're not a great team yet, but they look capable. And the way they came back, but they also blew last week against Ottawa, right? They lost a lead. So who's to say that they're a very tough team to predict this year?
They are. It'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. As they say, the CFL season doesn't really start till Labor Day anyways, right, Daryl? So here we go. It begins next week.
So we've been wasting their time?
Can't wait.
Not at 8-1 they've been wasting their time. They've been doing what's needed for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, trying to go to 9-1 for the first time in franchise history in a couple of minutes. 20 minutes away from kickoff with the Riders and the Stampeders. We'll get through the roster check and our final prediction. Who wins? What's the score? Coming up next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone pregame show, about 15 minutes away from kickoff on TSN. The Rough Riders against the Calgary Stampeders, as the Riders will try to improve their record to 9-1. They've never done that in the entire franchise's history. Way back in the 70s, there was a season where they finished 14-2, but they started 7-2 that year after their first 9 games. So 8-2, of course. Then they ran the table. Don't want to talk about how 72, or I think it was 72.
72 ended, yeah. Lost, heartbreak and lost.
Or was that 70 with the wind?
There's a few heartbreaking losses through the early 70s.
Have the Riders suffered heartbreaking losses in their past?
Yeah, a few years, even recently.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that's not that recent anymore.
No, it's not, as a matter of fact. 16 years ago.
It is, yeah. How come it feels way more recent than
16
that when
years
you,
ago to
when
what?
You talk to Ryder fans?
What, to what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's an extra guy on the field. Okay.
It's been that long.
Yes.
Wow. Feels like yesterday, doesn't it? In our nightmares forever. But a roster check with the Riders and the Stampeders. So originally it was just Nick Weeb, the 10 special teams tackles, leads the team in special teams tackles, out on the one-game injured list with a knee injury. Morgan Runge came in, but we just found out Marcus Sales is out. He was put on the game-time decision late yesterday, and Antoine Brooks Jr. was moved as a healthy scratch to the practice roster, so that allowed them to bring Antoine Brooks onto the roster to replace Marcus Sales, but not in the starting lineup. Nelson Lacombo starts at corner. Jackson Ford moves to safety. Does anybody want to redo their predictions on Vernon Adams not hitting 300 yards today?
Yeah, true. And I'm also switching. I think I'm switching my pick now.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Oh, this is breaking news.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, I had Saskatchewan, but I think I'm going to change for bowl predictions now. I still think it's going to be a defensive game. I just think that Calgary is going to pull it out.
All right.
Okay.
I've been wrong once or twice this year, you know.
Daryl Davis isn't wrong.
I was wrong about that, too, I guess.
Just that switch make you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that secondary becomes a little more vulnerable now. I hope they play. You're right. Jackson Ford
but
plays
well.
But
that defensive line getting after it the way they are.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, Calgary's got a heck of a team. Calgary won here. And I just think that they're going to be at home, and they just got the confidence. And I think this last minute shuffle is just
maybe I'll help you swing back, because the Calgary Stampeders don't have Tevin Jones or Dominic Rimes in their receiving
that's
core.
That's a good point too,
this week. Yeah. They do get Damian Alford back. They also bring on receiver Daylon Baldwin, who's only played one game in the CFL, and Yevashon Yanassis out of Guelph is on. They change a punter. Mark Vassett replaces Fraser Mason. Those two global kickers were battling. If you were wondering why Deion Sanders was wearing a Stampeders hat a couple of weeks ago, Mark Vassett, the punter, went to Colorado, went back to his alma mater for a visit, gave Deion Sanders a Stamps hat, and he put it on for practice. If you're wondering where that Stampeders hat came from. And defense switched up a few things. George Adoko goes to the practice roster. Sean Peterson Jr. had two sacks in the preseason, comes on, and a couple of mix-ups for the Canadian special team spots. Okay, Darryl Davis. It's prediction time. We were all going with the Riders.
Were we? When did we say that?
Ooh, man.
Oh, yeah, you were on Wednesday.
Did I say that? Okay. I'm free to change. Of course I am. 24-22 Calgary.
Well, sorry,
24-22 Calgary.
Calgary, 24.
We got to add some excitement, guys. We're always 22. Picking, all of us are picking Saskatchewan almost all the time. If I'm wrong, big deal.
Yeah.
What I say doesn't matter in the big scheme of things.
And keep the Riders have to win by a certain amount of points.
They have to win by 15 to win the season series.
I can't see them winning by 15, but. Mm-hmm.
What do you got, Belton?
I got the Riders winning 29-22.
Okay, on the green zone this week, I said 22 or 23, I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing that number, though. I'm still picking the Rough Riders to win.
I said, don't do like a Darryl, just, man.
But I think I will slide the Stampeders higher. I am going to go 30-29.
Ooh, 1 point.
Yeah, there's no talk about a 15-point win now for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. If they win by 15 with that change to the secondary an hour before kickoff, they might have known yesterday. Maybe we don't know if Marcus Sills came down with the flu or something or what happened, but he is
on the one game is
on the one game injured list. I talked to him 2 days ago after practice. He was in a jersey. They didn't even have him as a game time decision. They released their depth chart, and then what, 2-3 hours later, they sent out another one going, Marcus Sales is on the one game injured list.
Game time decision, though, is what they said before. And wanted to talk to Nelson Lacombo on Tuesday, but he didn't practice, so I couldn't talk to him on Tuesday.
Yes.
So that's kind of the concern that I have a little bit here. So doesn't mean, maybe it means nothing. Maybe it means it's a turning point.
Well, we're about to find out in about 10 minutes. It is a kickoff at McMahon Stadium. Looks like a nice night for football. The biggest crowd of the year for the Calgary Stampeders.
12,000?
Over 25,000 sold.
Good. I'm glad.
Or distributed. We will be here on the Green Zone postgame show to break it all down for you when that final whistle sounds on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.